I was listening to an interview with Jordan Peterson, you know, Jordan Peterson, the big psychologist, and Bishop Barron. And, you know, Peterson's big deal about I'm not encapsulating his work because he does a lot of work well, but I'm not encapsulating it well. He does work well. I'm not encapsulating it all. But his point about human nature and the way humans behave, you know, he's big on very much this idea of self-sacrifice, right? That you, even on the natural level, right? That this is what man's made for. He talks about the mythical figure that goes from his land to the other, faces danger, learns something of that encounter, and takes it back to his people, right? He talks about how so much of this is the mythical man, and how it makes sense because it resonates with our humanity, and that's why these mythical creatures continue to stay, Odysseus, whatever it might be, in our work because how true to life they seem to be, how much they resonated. So his point is, like, this is what we do: is we face this danger, you know, bravely. We self-sacrifice. This is who we are as human beings. So he turns to Barron and he says, your faith teaches this. And it's true, right? That's true. It's right. I mean, Peterson has an insufficient account of God's grace. That's fine. He's not trying to dupe us. He's not saying that he does. I'm just saying he does it. He works on the natural level. But he essentially turns to Barron and says, this is what your faith does. He professes that this is the response to God, is essentially his work, right? This self-sacrifice, giving yourself over. And he said, why in the world, and I don't want to beat up the bishops too much, because why in the world don't your brother bishops emphasize this more? This is liberating news. This is what you teach. This is what your church teaches, but it's not preached that much. Like, why is that? And, you know, Barron just shook his head and laughed, and he said, Jordan, I wish you could talk to our clerics more about that. You know, so anyway, I found that fascinating, that this man who's, a secular psychologist says, the way you say that you're supposed to react to God is actually hardwired in our humanity, which we know that, right? But here's a secular psychologist who uses all of the sciences today, all the states, to say, that's exactly right. Now, why don't you preach that?
Yeah, but I can tell you why they don't preach it, because the world preaches the exact opposite. The world will tell you all you need to do is put yourself as number one, make a lot of money, buy a lot of stuff, pump your brain up with dopamine, you know, and then you'll be happy, and then they're miserable, and then it's the cycle, you know, the definition of insanity. Do the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result, and then here you have this happy little Catholic who's poor as dirt, and they've got this huge smile on their face. They feel totally fulfilled. They have a peace beyond understanding. And, you know, people look at them like, you're a fool. You're an absolute fool.
Right. And so I completely concede that point. I think you're right about it. That's what the world teaches. And that's where, again, that the irony to me is, here's Peterson as a respected academic that says, in my work with human psychology, I'm saying on the natural level, what you profess as a proper response, a fitting response to God, on the natural level, I'm telling you, that allows for, that is the path for human happiness. And we say, yeah, okay. And then we add God's grace to that equation, which puts it on steroids, right? I do good, God does better. I do good, God does better.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
So we even have more of a motivation to do this. And I just think it's interesting. That, anyway, all that back to say, that's kind of why I push 2, 1, and 3, because I think I have a strong sense of the sacrifice, which is the church's understanding of the mass, right? Church as sacrifice. As a meal, yes, that's a motif. It's not the dominant motif, though. It is a motif, mass as meal. Okay, it's not the dominant one, though. The dominant one is mass as me offering my life in sacrifice with Jesus to the Father and the Holy Spirit.
Okay, but
Bishop Barron does a magnificent job on his little booklet on the Eucharist on that, by the
way. He does.
I mean, I think that's easy, accessible, and it's really...
I want to ask Ellen a question, though.
Oh, okay.
Okay. In your death scrolling...
Yes.
Because you... No offense, but you have a little bit more experience of this, probably, than Father and I.
Uh-huh.
Is this message ever proclaimed?
You'll see, you know, it's fascinating in a secular world. Somebody will post a clip of where somebody did good for somebody else, pulled the guy from falling on the train tracks. And isn't this just, look at this encapsulation of what we should be. And people will jump on board for that. Like, I think there is a part to Father's point. Our humanity recognizes it, but we I honestly think people think those are just for heroic moments in life. But on my everyday scale, I can be rude to the cashier. I can cut off people in traffic. I can do all this me, get ahead. It's only in those heroic moments and that we can look at other people and go, yeah, that's really good. I don't even know if I could do that. But so they recognize it, but they don't absorb it and then live their daily life like that. I think on a even on the most secular level.
So Ellen, I think you're right about that. But I do think, and I'm not going to overstate the case. There's a growing sense of the idea that virtuous living, self-restraint, giving to the other is the path to full flourishing. Is the way we live as human beings. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to overstate the case. But with guys like Jordan Peterson, and you know. The trope is like, oh, he's popular with young men, blah, 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 blah. Well, I don't think that's true. Just because he says he advocates through his studies, through the empirical social science studies, that this idea of a non-selfish life is fulfilling. Why does that have to be all of a sudden, oh, well, young men are attracted to that? Because I don't know what toxic masculinity, I don't know. I mean, that's ridiculous. But, you know, the guy you had on the show, Arthur Brooks, different approach, but the same sense about things, that same element of self-sacrifice, right? The same element of, and he teaches at Harvard Business School as an elective, which that's really great. And it's wildly attractive, and not just to young virile men. People are attracted to that. He does a course on happiness, not happiness as affective state, but happiness as a sense of being in your life. Right. And so, I mean, he's able to negotiate that and manage that in the secular world, which, you know, got good for him. I think that's magnificent. And he does a great job of it. And I don't think he compromises the message. And he sets the stage for Catholicism. Let me say that. I mean, without saying Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, he's like, well, let's look on the natural level and see how this is satisfying for human beings. This is the path to your full flourishing. And we say yes, and we have Jesus Christ who reconciles us back to God and says, oh, by the way, that's the path that you need to follow. I'll aid you by my grace. It'll be spectacular. We'll change the world. But this is the structure in which this is going to happen, right? So, I mean, like Stoicism, right? Marcus Aurelius, Cicero, Seneca, Paul was largely Stoic. The early church was largely Stoic. That doesn't mean that they're bad. They mean like this is their response to Christ, to turn from my selfish self and turn toward the Lord. That's always been the case. And again, mass as sacrifice, that's still the case. That's still the teaching of the church. It's just, what are you going to emphasize, right? And back to your point, Todd, it's just like, it's popular not to emphasize
that. It's not. And in fact, it's popular to emphasize the opposite. Mm-hmm. You know, because it'll be a blip on the radar. Like, okay, the book, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry by John Mark Comer. He's a mega church pastor and a handsome guy, you know, got the world by the tail. I mean, everything's going great for him. And then all of a sudden, God is whomping on him to go, hey, you need to change your life. So in a nutshell, he's trying to remove all this hurry from his life, so much so it's affecting everything. He has 6 outfits that he wears now. 6.
Mm.
Like total.
Yeah, well, no sense thinking about that.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
And yet, he's a mega church pastor, and he just doesn't now fit the bill. Like, I'm telling you, I'm going to mark my words, he's going to enter the church one of these days.
Mm. We will look for that. Mm. I guess we'll get to contemplative and vocal prayer next week then, Father. We flew right by that topic. Can we get a blessing from you before you leave?
Sure. May Almighty God bless all who are listening. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, Father Driscoll.
You bet, Todd. Ellen, talk to you next week.
Thanks.